Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Lord. You know, both these stories, the story of David and Goliath and the story of Jesus in the boat, have a lot of similarities. I wondered if any of you picked that up. No? Well, both the stories of David and Goliath and Jesus in the boat, they were both gripped with fear. The Israelite army and the disciples were both gripped with fear. And they were looking at a situation before them and could see no positive outcome, and so were struggling with a sense of hopelessness. There's another theme, and that theme resonated in both stories, and that is that the Israelite army and the disciples had forgotten who was with them. For the Israelite army, it was that God had gone before them in previous battles and won decisive victories. And the disciples were with Jesus in the boat. And previously they had witnessed Jesus in his divinity doing wonders and miracles. Life for us can have all kinds of battles. And at times we feel that we are in stormy seas beyond our control. We may be battling health issues that never seem to let up. We may be hurt emotionally or spiritually and find ourselves overwhelmed with an avalanche of circumstances beyond our control. It may seem that the more we row against the waves, the bigger the waves seem to get. The bigger the waves seem to grow, the more hopeless we can feel. And at times we feel very vulnerable and afraid. But we shouldn't feel like a failure. God absolutely understands us. These feelings are a very natural thing to have in our lives. Just as life dishes out its unfriendly giants to taunt and bedraggle us. In this gospel passage, Jesus says something that sounds very much like judgment against the disciples. And he asks them, where is your faith? Now David is essentially says the same thing to the Israelite army and to Saul. And he says, who is it that defiles the armies of the living God? Essentially, David is reminding the army that Goliath was disgracing them and that they were God's army. They belong to God. So what is this faith that Jesus says we should have? Some would suppose that we need to have some kind of superpower, and unless it's activated just right, our prayers will not be answered. You may have heard the comments, well, perhaps your faith is not strong enough, or you're not just living the right way God wants you to. Now, all that is actually a load of hoo-ha. Jesus never dealt with accusations and condemnation. The key in both these scriptures is this: all God asks of us is to remember that he is there with us. Through scripture, God assures us of his reassuring presence, caring and providing for us, giving us strength and hope for the future. And what God does not promise is that for a never-ending life of comfort and bliss, troubles will come. But what happened to the Israelite army and the disciples was they had forgotten that God was with them, especially the disciples with Jesus right there in the boat. I remember a joke about a man who fell over a cliff. He happened to grab onto a branch and he's calling out for help, In the end, he gets no answer, so he calls out to God. He says, God, are you there? Help me. And a voice comes back to him. He says, yes, I'm here. And he says, what'll I do? And God says, let go. And then there's silence. And the man then cries out and says, is anyone else up there? I want to share a story about a man called Horatio Spafford. That was nearly 200 years ago. And 200 years ago in Chicago, there was a fire that swept through the whole city. And Horatio was a lawyer, and he owned a lot of property, and he lost a lot. Not long after that, his four-year-old son died. And with all the struggle and everything else, he was a friend of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. And he sent his wife and four daughters in a boat to go to England and be greatly encouraged by Moody. However, he stayed back in Chicago and he was going to come later. And in that ship, it was struck by another ship in the middle of the ocean. His wife survived, but his four daughters all died. And his wife sent a telegram back to him, just simply saved alone, that she was alive, but not his daughters. Eventually, he came to England. And eventually, they had three more children. But even then, he lost again his son at 4 years of age. You'd think at that stage, someone would say, I give up, God. But Horatio didn't. When he went over on a ship, when his four daughters were died, the captain called him to the bridge and he said, I want you to know that right now we are crossing where that ship that your wife and daughters in had sunk. And it was then and there that Horatio wrote that hymn that we still sing today after 200 years. It is well with my soul. He knew that his only strength that he could draw on was God. And he wrote that hymn as a response of his faith. And his wife said, in as a comment, there's no way that she ever wanted to have a fair weather faith. A faith that would just be there when everything's running fine, but when things are going pear-shaped, they know that God is with them even in their trials. Now, personally, I was with a man whose wife had a very aggressive dementia. She was only 60, and they were both very fit people, and they did a lot of hiking and running, and push bike riding, but she got this dementia, and within 2 months, it took her life. And it was almost shocking. Even the hospital was shocked how quick this dementia had taken her from walking into the hospital to actually becoming totally incapacitated and then dying. And I was with him at the side of her bed the night she died. And in his pain, he says, where are you, God? Not like the disciples who said, why aren't you with us? Why don't you care about us? He actually said, where are you, God? In other words, a cry, I need you, God, right now. I need you in my heart. I need your comfort with me in the middle of all this. And we, together, we prayed then and there. The Israelite army and the disciples could have asked the same question. Instead, they trusted in their own strength, and their hope was failing. Don't you think, though, that it is incredible that Jesus still calmed the storm, even though they were blaming God for not being with them? They were blaming Jesus for not caring for them. And yet Jesus still calmed the sea. That's how gracious our God is, that when our faith struggles sometimes, and you know, I admit it, I've been there myself. When our faith has struggled sometimes, Jesus is still there, still constant, still answering our prayers. Jesus is the very same thing for us. And he had the greatest of all battles before him, to break the power of sin and death over us. His victory for us resulted in his death, so that we could have a life knowing God remains with us. He came into this world not to condemn the world, but to save it, to open the door for us so that we can know for sure he is with us in everything we have to face in life. He came into a world full of suffering and death. He lived amongst us in the mess, corruption, and in the depravity. And he carried this all the way to the cross, so that we could turn and face him in all he has done for us, knowing he understands our own struggles. He is with us in our greatest joys, and he holds our hearts in our darkest storms and gives us courage in our fiercest battles. Our trials are the mountains we can speak to be removed into the sea. The sea God is saturating is God saturating grace. Simply by asking our Lord to uphold us in our trials, just as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Faith, therefore, is simply remembering that God is always with us, despite the circumstances. Turning, we can face Jesus, now resurrected, and say, "As you walk with me, Lord, I will walk with you wherever and whatever circumstances may come my way." As we keep looking to him and trusting in him, we have this confidence that grows and grows with great assurance that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. It really is about hanging in there in the journey and seeing it through, knowing God's peace instead of fear, knowing his Spirit comforts us instead of feeling abandoned and alone. We can carry this hope when reason screams at us that all is hopeless. This is the faith of David and the faith Jesus asked the disciples to have. The faith we too can carry in this, the core of salvation. That God came to be with us in this world and to lead us into the next. It is he that gives us faith. A faith in knowing he is here with us. God gives us the ability to live his abundant grace, a life worth living. Amen.